Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Have you ever wondered why at fancy parties where they're sipping fine wine, there's always this music playing in the background?
I know why.
Why is that?
It's to get people like me away. Like when you've got the shopping centres that plays the crappy music so no one hangs out at the shopping centre. So people like me don't just wander in.
As if you're getting an invitation to fancy
exactly
wine.
Exactly right. Jumping over the hedges again.
Well, a new study has found out why, you know, the classic music gets played, because they've discovered that listening to symphonies, everything from Mozart to Beethoven, can enhance your perception of how good a wine tastes, whether it's a red or a white. If there's classic music in the background, it helps stimulate your brain. You go, ooh, this is a good drop.
So you reckon if there's like the wrong type of classical music playing, then maybe people won't enjoy the wine as much. They'll be like, ooh, this drop's not for me.
Could be. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if it's you know, like old mate Andre Rieu. If it's I suddenly feel ill.
Ooh, he's more of a white wine sort of, you know.
It doesn't work on cask wines, by the way. Even if you play an entire opera's worth of classical music, it won't help that fruit elixir taste any better. It's funny too, because I thought maybe other types of music might work besides classic. You'd think like playing some Amy Winehouse would enhance the taste of wine. It's a natural mix, but they've also found that apparently playing music like this in the background enhances the flavour of VB.
Does it?
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
It goes down a lot smoother when you're playing some Barnsley in the background. So, isn't that funny how our brains work like that? Like,
I think it's the sophistication factor. When people are drinking wine and they're listening to, you know, Mozart and classical music, all of a sudden you feel like you've elevated yourself another level.
Oh, so you think it's maybe they're just trying to keep up with the fanciness of things. So it's like, hang on, I'm wearing my suit.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bit of fancy music in the background, the classical music. So now I've got to pretend I know what this wine is all about.
Yep.
And the wine's going for like, $100 a glass or something at this party. So I've got to, I detect hints of elderberry and wheatgrass.
And smugness.
There was a lot. You can really taste the smug. So apparently, during the study, they found even people who disliked classical music, like yourself, Hutsy, they preferred to drink with sound in the background rather than just drink in silence.
Amazing.
I mean, that makes sense, really, because if you're at a party where they're doing a bit of wine tasting, I'd prefer music rather than just listening to... Yeah, that's not gonna enhance my enjoyment of the wine.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
I reckon there's a very fine line between hoarding and collecting. It's like there's just a little grey area where you see those circles intersecting about what's what. Because
I think collecting is when what you have in your home actually still has a value to someone other than you.
Yeah.
It's like my mum used to collect those Franklin mint plates from the...
the ones you'd never eat off. You'd never be allowed to eat off them.
Like there'd be a page in Woman's Day in the Franklin mint collection, and it'd have like, you know, dolphins jumping out of the water. Mum's like, I have to have this. And so she had this huge collection and she'd call it a collection. And my brother and I are like, no, that's a hoard, Mum.
Yeah.
That's a hoard.
I'm willing to put my hand up and say I'm a bit of a hoarder. I hoard clothes that I've literally either don't fit anymore because one day I hope to fit in them, or stuff that I've just like old cricket jerseys. I've got about 15 of them laying around. I was like, I'm never going to wear them again, but
you
I just
wrapped
can't
up FebFit, though. Surely you can fit into your Samantha Fox t-shirt again.
Oh, that one. I need to get that replicated. That thing is almost dead. Like, it's just like it's just moths have attacked
and everything.
You need
to get it framed and put on the wall like a bit of sporting memorabilia.
But I think we've actually crossed the line with this next story when it comes to collecting and hoarding romance novels.
Now, the old Mills and Boone.
Yeah, Rachel's auntie used to love romance novels. It was all she would read. I'm talking like all day, sit there and read romance novels. She had probably had a couple of hundred. She had lots.
So Fabio was the pinnacle for her when it came to men.
Yep.
She'd take any Fabio, whether it's shirtless pirate Fabio or Fabio being smacked in the face by a goose on a roller coaster.
Exactly. Single woman for life, though.
Oh, really?
You know, some people love these romance novels.
Never found love. Was always looking for it in the novels.
Always looking for it. But one particular woman, Marina Shomula. This woman has around 50,000 romance novels in her house.
Even the public library wouldn't have that many.
She even says she wakes up sometimes 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and just first thing in her mind is read the book, and she just reads the book all day.
They're quite thin. Stories are light.
Loves the romance novels. This is what she loves about them most, though.
It is like a escape for me. So, you know, with I can imagine in the romance book, there's a handsome prince or an I'm pretty.
And when there isn't enough romance in the English literary world, there's always Mandarin.
I hope there's no pictures. I wouldn't want anybody at home to be...
No, it's no picture.
All right, yeah.
Imagine that. You're already reading books in one language, then another language. That's just double the books that are going to be in the house.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, surely she's got to be single. All those. Nope. She's married to a guy named Erhard.
Oh, I thought you said she'd never found love.
No,
oh,
that was your auntie. Rachel's, yeah,
oh,
Rachel's
so this
auntie,
married.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's... Erhard. She's married to a guy named Erhard. And, well, right. It turns out reading all those romance books is working out in his favour.
Is she romantic?
Well, yes. I'm not going to tell her. Yeah.
That's the R-rated version. We won't go into that. Right. But she's picking up a few tips from the books.
Oh, she is. She is. Every now and then I get surprised.
All right, okay.
Her husband's just minding his own business. All of a sudden, she just jumps on the bed.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I was just sitting there reading the paper. Next minute, she was pressing me against her heaving bosom,
yeah.
As she says.
Write what you want about that, I suppose. That'd definitely be an R, X-rated sort of version of the book. But obviously, something like this, a current affair, they've got to jump in with their own expert to help her get over her addiction, because sometimes she just goes to the library and they've got to ask her to leave because she just reads and reads and reads.
Oh, right.
Like, she just takes it to the next level.
Okay.
So they've got an expert in
court. She doesn't read out loud, though, does she?
I hope.
Took his throbbing. Are we going to have to ask you to leave, please?
The guy's name is Mark Stevens. He's a guy that basically hypnotises people, gets them over whatever fear they've got or whatever addiction.
Like smoking.
And would you know, just an afternoon with Marina and, well, looks like she's cured.
And you no longer have any desire to read a romance novel because you think it's just a waste of time.
And an hour later...
Don't feel like the reader.
Just an hour.
All those books would be going to Goodwill, I would imagine.
Yeah.
What they didn't show you, though, is basically they had something else to turn her off romance novels for life.
Mm.
Basically, I think Mark introduced her to an upcoming author called Peter Griffin and his romance novels, you know.
He ripped off her lab coat and she grabbed his metallic extension. Oh, did I mention he was a robot? Because that's kind of important. Yeah, a robot. Awesome.
Suddenly she didn't feel like reading anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
And just terrible scenes coming out of Ukraine with the Russian invasion. Thousands of refugees, millions of refugees being displaced, people being killed. It's a terrible conflict. We want to see an end to it ASAP. And, you know, people are working behind the scenes to try and make this happen. And then you've got other people working in front of the scenes, center stage. Just messing things up.
That's right.
And that is Tesla founder Elon Musk. He recently took to Twitter, and this guy, when he tweets, like the whole world listens. Like he has made cryptocurrency values plunge with simple tweet, and he's made the values rise as well. So he took to Twitter, and this is what he tweeted, Hutsy. He goes, I hereby challenge Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, to single combat. Stakes are Ukraine. What the hell are you doing, Elon? This isn't an episode of Game of Thrones, mate. Like, no.
I demand a trial by combat.
You're not Tyrion Lannister, all right? Stop watching Game of Thrones. It doesn't equal real life.
It sounds like he's seen too many movies. Is he walking up with a glove and is going to challenge him to a duel and slap him in the face?
That's what's happening. Well, you'd say he's been watching too many movies. I'm thinking he's been watching Rocky IV, where like Rocky Balboa goes and fights Ivan Drago over in Russia. I imagine at this point, Elon Musk is already doing a training montage, running up a mountain instead of going, he's like, Putin! He's like, he later directed his tweet at the Kremlin asking if they agree to this fight.
Well, they can like draw up a contract and sort out terms and have a weigh-in and have like a face-off and press conference.
One of Musk's 77 million followers wrote that the Tesla founder might not have thought this challenge through.
I don't think he has.
I don't think so at all. But Musk responded, I am absolutely serious.
Unless he's got like Napoleon Dynamite and has mad skills or something. I don't know. Is he not telling us something? Was he a secret jiu-jitsu black belt?
You would hope so. Because according to Russian propaganda, Vladimir Putin has wrestled bears. Elon Musk wrestles with pronouncing his son's name. It's like X-A-E-12 or something. I don't know what he is thinking. But basically, like this billionaire, this tech billionaire has gone, Putin, you and me at the bike racks at 3 p.m. That's what he's done. Obviously, I don't think Putin's going to take this very seriously.
Well, you think of who's Elon Musk going to call as backup? What, people like Milhouse? Who's he got in his corner?
Yeah, he's like Jeff Bezos. Can you,
Jeff, Gatesy, help us out.
Can you come and be my my ring man? So, yeah, I don't know. I was like, Elon, please, like, your Tesla might be fully charged, but Putin's going to knock your lights out the minute you step into the ring. He's an ex-KGB agent.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Mm. I think even Elon, though, doesn't rate his chances. Apparently, he's picked this out as his entrance music. Do
you really want to? Oh, yeah, that's not going to help him.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.